Thank you very much. So let me add my welcome to friends and family of Rachel and Mike. It's great to have you here. My name is Chris. I'm a maths teacher at a local school, and I love it. we are looking at these songs in the Bible. There's 150 of them, Psalms, and we are looking at Psalm 71. It's the last of our summer series, so if you've got a Bible, please keep it open. And let me just give a bit of context. These songs are written by various people over a long period of time, hundreds of years, lots by a king called David. And the universe that it describes is a Christian universe. The people who wrote this believe in God, and there's nothing more important to them than talking to God in prayers and songs. And that's what we're doing. We're looking at a prayer or a song to God. So if you're not a Christian here, I invite you to kind of listen in to what's going on. You're kind of like eavesdropping, I guess, into a conversation, and you're very, very welcome. So this psalm is from the perspective of an older person. If you look at verse 9, it says, "Do not cast me away when I'm old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone." This is the perspective of an old person. And we often think about young people. It's been brilliant to pray for Eli. What a privilege for us. But now we're kind of looking at the other end of the spectrum. We're going to look back as this person looks over their life. What sort of things are they praying for? And I want to encourage you to be thinking as the years go by. I see lots of young faces. You may not think about getting old, but I want to encourage you to think about that. It's the last taboo in our country, isn't it? People don't talk about aging very much. I remember having a conversation with one of my colleagues who's in her 50s, and in a rare moment of candor, when we weren't talking about maths, she said, "I'm really worried about dying." But people don't talk about it. It's a last taboo. So we're going to just spend a few minutes, and I've literally got 10, 15 minutes to think through what this psalm says about that, and to think about that. To set the scene, though, we're going to watch a bit of an old film. This is, it's funny, some of you might recognise it. It's quite old now, so it fits in with the theme of getting old. It tells the story of a man called Mitch who's invited to talk at his son's school about his job. And the person in front of him is a plumber, and he makes it sound really exciting. So Mitch stands up, and he's talking about his job, and his son has to introduce him. 10 points if you can recognise the son.
"My dad's named Mitch, and he's a submarine commander."
"Oh,
Danny.
Submarine commander?
He works for WBLM Radio."
"Well, like Danny said, I work for WBLM Radio."
"Are you a disc jockey?"
"No, I'm not a disc jockey. You know the commercials that are on the radio?"
"Oh, do you make all those commercials?"
"No. Other people make the commercials. I sell them time on our station for the commercials to be on."
"So you decide which commercials to use and when."
"That's right. Well, no, it's not right. It used to be right. Seems now that I even have to check with the station manager if I want to wipe my nose. The minute he took away my authority, I should have quit."
"Mr. Robbins."
"Value this time in your life, kids. Because this is the time in your life when you still have your choices. And it goes by so fast. When you're a teenager, you think you can do anything, and you do. Your 20s are a blur. 30s, you raise your family, you make a little money, and you think to yourself, what happened to my 20s? 40s, you grow a little pot belly, you grow another chin. The music starts to get too loud. One of your old girlfriends from high school becomes a grandmother. 50s, you have a minor surgery. You'll call it a procedure, but it's a surgery. 60s, you'll have a major surgery. The music is still loud, but it doesn't matter because you can't hear it anyway. 70s, you and the wife retire to Fort Lauderdale. Start eating dinner at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You have lunch around 10, breakfast the night before. Spend most of your time wandering around malls looking for the ultimate soft yogurt and muttering, how come the kids don't call? How come the kids don't call? The 80s, you'll have a major stroke. You end up babbling to some Jamaican nurse who your wife can't stand, but who you call mama. Any questions?
We don't like to think about getting old, do we? So we're going to see what this psalmist writes about getting old. And he has two kind of prayers that should, I hope, come up. He makes prayers and requests, and they are in those verses. This is coming up in the wrong order, never mind. Some prayers and requests. We want to see what prayers and requests this psalmist makes, the person who wrote this psalm. And he also has prayers of trust and confidence. So kind of two prayers that are interweaved throughout this psalm. So prayers of request, things that he wants to be delivered from. And the first thing he wants to be delivered from is external pressure. Now, I used to think when I was young that as I got older, external pressures on me would get less. I remember thinking, oh, I can't wait. When I was a teenager and I was under pressure for being a Christian, I remember thinking, I can't wait till I'm older because people won't hassle me about being a Christian. And I found that actually it doesn't change. People still give you grief for being a Christian. I remember thinking too, as well, that the things in my personality that I didn't like, I looked forward to those getting less as I got older. But as I'm getting older, let me tell you, those things don't go away. Maybe you don't feel them quite as extremely as you used to, but they just become more ingrained, perhaps more habitual. The unkindness that you can easily speak, or the selfishness, or whatever the issues might be. They don't go away. They don't get less. And so I think it's amazing that this psalmist, as he's looking back over his life, prays to be delivered. He's continually praying to be delivered from external pressures. Just look at verse 4. Deliver me, my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of those who are cruel, evil and cruel. It's not wrong to pray to be delivered from persecution. In fact, we should be praying for that. Certainly for people across the globe who are persecuted for their faith, we should be praying that they're delivered from it. But also, we should be praying to be delivered from difficulties that come along. Verse 10, for my enemies speak against me. Those who wait to kill me conspire together. He's praying to be delivered from external pressure. Now, I don't know what that might be for you, where it cuts for you in your office or in your staff room, but it's not wrong to pray for deliverance from external pressures. But he also prays for, internal faithfulness. He's not only praying to be delivered from external pressures, he asked to be delivered from, he asked to be faithful internally. Look at verse 9 again. Do not cast me away when I'm old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone. Or verses 1 and 2. In your righteousness, rescue me and deliver me. Be my rock of refuge to which I can go. He's praying that he can be faithful internally in his own spiritual walk. And that's a great prayer for us, isn't it? Where do you feel pressure, both internal and external? Pray, take those prayers to the Lord. Don't settle as you get older. We thought about what some of those pressures might be like. I think for me, something like parenting as I've become a parent, the pressure that it can exert on you is incredibly painful. And Mike and Rachel, you'll know that. So verses 5 and 6, I think, is a word to you, Mike. Is Rachel around or has she gone out? For you've been my hope, Sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From my birth I've relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. We want to pray that you will have that hope in the Lord. So this psalmist isn't settling for just how things are. He's praying to change. I remember in my 20s, camping with some friends. We were hiking up some mountains, and a friend of a friend said, "Oh, I love being in my early 20s because I know who I am and I don't think I'm going to change now." And part of me, I can see now, looking back, some of the truthfulness of that. Things don't change. But part of me was really saddened by that at the time. I remember feeling very saddened by it at the time because I wanted to change. And this psalmist still wants to change. He wants to be delivered from these things. So I want to encourage you, as you're aging, everyone here is aging, to continue to pray for change, to be delivered, for internal faithfulness. Let's pray these things. But the psalmist doesn't just pray those things. He has tremendous prayers of hope and trust. And these are littered again throughout the psalm. There's kind of three sections, if you like, looking at structure. You'll see how they mesh. Verses 1 to 4, the first prayer of deliverance. Then 5 to 8, the first prayer of trust. 9 to 13, prayers for deliverance, and so on. You can see how that works. So his first prayers are prayers of confidence. He is tremendously confident throughout these prayers. verse 5, Sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. Verse 14, as for me, I shall always have hope. I shall praise you more and more. Why can he be so confident? Well, I think he tells us in verse 20, though you have made me see troubles many and bitter, you will restore my life again. He's been through lots of difficulties and he can look back over his life and see God's faithfulness to him throughout his life. He's basing his confidence on that. He can look back through the history of God's people and see how God always delivered them. He can look through his own life and see how God has always delivered him. That's where he's basing his confidence. And that's where we can base our confidence. If you're a Christian here, you've prayed for God's salvation. You can look back and be confident in that. That's why our personal sharing of stories is so important. We occasionally do that on a Sunday publicly. But that's quite difficult, isn't it, to do? So that's why our home groups, our small groups that meet each week, are so important to us, because you'll see people sharing stories of how God has been with them. If you are not quite involved in a home group, or if you don't get there very often, let me encourage you again to get stuck in, because that is where we can share our lives and share things that the Lord is doing, and we can turn that to hope and trust and confidence as we see the Lord working in our lives. And finally, he's saying lots of prayers of praise. It's littered throughout again, especially from verse 22. I praise you with the harp. I will sing praise to you. My lips will shout. My tongue will tell of your righteous acts. He's making music. He's singing. He's shouting praises. And that's an encouragement to us, isn't it? As time goes on, I find it easy to feel more excited about other things. My latest purchase or a success at work or something like that. Those are the pressures that are on you. And yet the psalmist here knows that God is good and enjoys God, and that's what springs out into his praise. So there's a challenge to us, isn't there, to find enjoyment and in God and to turn that into praise. Again, we do that on a Sunday together corporately, but how about moment by moment in the week, turning those to praise? Well, that was a super quick overview because time has got away from us. But let me encourage you as the seconds tick by, minutes, days, weeks, months, as you look back, don't settle for where you are, but pray for change and turn those prayers into hope and trust. Why don't we pray together now? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your faithfulness that many of us have seen, and how brilliant it is when we see other people at our church, when we see, for instance, Pat still faithfully following you, when we see younger people serving and honouring you. Lord, these are tremendous encouragements to us, and we want to pray that we would continually be faithfully trusting you and hoping in you, whatever circumstances are that come along. Amen.